La maudite des vieux chauds.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got like glue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
You're an angel witch.
I am. I mean, I am.
Maticus Finch Reiser just pointed out, and I'll never be able to unhear this, you're an angel witch, as in urine, the bodily fluid.
That's grounds for dismissal. Is that kind of scatological talk, or is scatological talk only with fecal matter?
Hold on, I got the bed music way too loud. There we go.
Coming in hot.
I don't know why I've never heard that before.
What about yearn? Why yearn? Yearn angel witch.
Yearn angel witch.
It's a command. Yearn angel witch.
Yearn, comma, angel witch. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hey, Dez. How are you?
Good, man. What you doing?
What's up?
What's happening? What you doing? What's happening? What's the word?
Not much. Sorry, I just set my headphones right as you were talking. I didn't mean to be annoying and be like, what?
Got to get the hair just right.
Yeah, it's difficult with the headphones.
You got a nice flop going, though.
I do. I need a haircut.
Bad. You. I'm approaching my Civil War status when I... this much facial hair, this crap's getting...
Oh, yeah, it's really long. Because you cut it pretty short, like, a few months ago, right?
Probably, like, a year ago.
Was it that long ago?
It might have been.
I felt like that wasn't that long ago. Like, I think I've had... Oh, look at that. He looks all fresh and clean.
I've had one haircut since the pandemic started. So...
Man.
Another element of how the pandemic actually played into my strengths.
Yeah.
But now it's just lazy. I mean,
pandemic or not, I usually only get like one or two haircuts a year.
Yeah.
I'm really lazy. I am supposed to cut my hair into a mohawk for the Mary Jo Peel show.
Is that what Little Miss Martian is talking about?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Cause we did a rewatch party of The Day My Kid Turned Punk, which was an ABC. like a after school special,
cautionary tale.
Yeah, and we were watching it, and I was like, we were at like 380 subscribers. I was like, hey, if we get to 500 subscribers, I'll cut my hair into a mohawk and I'll live stream.
Okay.
And then a couple weeks later, we did get to 500 subscribers, and I was like, oh, I guess I didn't put like a time limit on this.
Yeah, no, that's got to cut off that night.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but people keep badgering me about it, so I think I have to do it.
You gotta do it.
So I want it to be filmed so we can show it as like a, I can like edit it together as like a segment or something we could show on the show. But I also don't want to just do it myself, because that's a disaster. Like, that's just me, you know, getting dangerously close to shaving my head completely.
Yeah, are you gonna go? I guess maybe you haven't given it much thought. Are you gonna go like full punk and get it like to the scalp?
Nah, I'm not gonna.
Or are you gonna be soft about it and leave like a little?
I'm gonna be soft about it for sure. Okay. And I mean, to be fair, in the movie, he has a mohawk, but it's not really like. I don't think it's even shaved on the sides. I think he just like
spiked it up top,
and then he just like spiked it on the top.
How old was this character supposed to be?
17. I mean, to be fair, when I was 16, I had a mohawk. Here, let me see if I have this picture.
I had a lightning bolt earring when I was 16.
Have we discussed this on this show before? I can't find it. Here we go. That's me in 1999.
That's not you. That's Joey Fatone.
Joey Fatone.
Wow. You look like a hard ass. Like, with a real, like, you know, always sassing the teacher.
Yeah.
A smart ass, you know.
I've got a bone to pick.
Yeah, I see it.
But you see that guy, like, the punk sneer down. I'm wearing a Clash t-shirt.
The eyebrows all like, screw you, you fool. Is that date accurate? Is this July 5th, 1999?
Yeah.
So I was approaching 23 years ago.
See, I was in 10th grade there.
Wow, 10th grade Chris Gersbeck.
Yeah.
Looking like a hard ass. How long did that look last?
A summer. It was summer. Okay.
So you weren't even a punk during the school year? You went summer punk?
No, I was. I just didn't get the mohawk until summer. Because then it was like, oh, I'm not in school. So, like, I can...
But what's the point of showing off with my punk flag?
Yeah.
Because that's what being a punk's all about, is just showing off.
Pretty much. I mean, at that point, yes. That pretty much was all it was about. Because, like, I used to love... I went to school in Manhattan, School of Art and Design. So I had friends that we would just cut school all the time and go to St. Mark's Place and hang out like on that in front of storefronts.
That was the thing to do
back then. Yeah, in the 90s, I walked down St. Mark's Place not that long ago, and it's just all corporate. It's just like chains. It's like Chipotle and Subway and all that.
It goes real quick. Speaking of St. Mark's Place, though, I just picked up Physical Graffiti on vinyl a couple weeks ago, and the cover of that is a apartment building on St. Mark's Place.
Oh, really? I never knew that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh. You can go there right now. Bring the record. You have to get your own, though.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know why I should have known that, because I feel like every time I walk down those streets or any streets with brownstones, I'm like, oh yeah, Physical Graffiti.
Yeah.
I probably have walked right past it numerous times. And
it's early in the block. I think it's like 10.
Yeah.
St. Mark's Place is the address, 10 and 12 or whatever.
Okay, yeah. Wait, you just picked up the vinyl of Physical Graffiti, you said?
Yeah, there's a little shop in town was selling it.
That's one of the few Zeppelin albums I don't have on vinyl, and it's one of my favorite Zeppelin albums.
I'm sorely underrepresented on Zeppelin vinyl, which is always the dangerous thing to realize when you don't have what you thought you had on a band, because then now you're going and spending all your money.
Yeah.
It got bad earlier this year. I had to check myself back and dial down, because it was starting to get a little...
Yeah, I inherited my dad's vinyl collection, and so I got a lot of those staples were just like
old,
like
the Black Crowes collection, because your dad's a big fan.
No, I think we only had like one or two Black Crowes vinyls. A lot of Zeppelin, a lot of Love and Spoonful, a lot of Jethro Tull. My dad was a Jethro Tull fan, apparently.
Hey,
and then there's like a lot of prog stuff. There's a lot of Yes and Alan Parsons and stuff, and I got a lot of good stuff from that.
It's good.
Yeah, so what else is going on? What's going on in your life, Dez?
Gonna start a kitchen renovation project in the coming days.
You mentioned that.
So yeah, we're feeling the burden of that, like at the beginning of any adventure. You know, there's always that doubt.
Are you,
when it's your kitchen?
Yeah, are you doing it yourself, or are you hiring someone?
I'm bringing in an electrician, but I got to get some stuff ready for him to come in and do his thing. And there's, you know, strategically placed time off of work, and you're balling on a budget over here. So that's the current status of things here in the house, to go with three new baby chicks.
And, yeah, how are the chicks doing?
They're doing well, but we're pretty sure that one of them's a rooster.
Bad news?
It's not bad news for anybody necessarily, but we don't really want to keep a rooster. You know, we're out here in the chicken ranch country, but we do have neighbors.
Yeah,
they will. You know, it's it's still somewhat residential, specifically where we're living. So that could get a little, you know, aggressive out of the gate. I don't want to hear it either, necessarily. Roosters don't play. So, and then you're running the risk of, like, him impregnating some of the chickens, which makes half of, well, not half, but it's always like roulette with every egg you break open, because we bought eggs out on the street, like, before, not on the street, but before we had the chickens, we, you know, people in the neighborhood selling chicken eggs and things like that. And once in a while, you get an egg that's got a, you know, baby chicken fetus in it. So, God. You know, you just move that one right into the garbage can and you move
that
right along.
That would horrify me.
So you don't.
Probably don't really one of the reasons why I don't even eat eggs, because I'm just scared of there being a baby chicken inside.
Yeah, I mean, most places that are making your eggs that you're getting at the store, they don't have any roosters anywhere near. And as long as there's no rooster around, you're going to...
Yeah, well, Miss Marson said you're going to get in trouble from the pro-lifers.
I mean, the chicken has already died in the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by that.
So,
yeah.
You know. And, you know, some of the risks you run. It's not as bad as... some of the things we had to deal with the last one that we had to let go.
Yeah.
So what'll happen is we'll probably be able to return this to the farm that we got it from.
Oh, okay.
And he,
so you're not going to just kill it.
No, we don't need to do that.
Do people eat roosters, or are they separate? Are they like,
I think you could eat. There's no reason.
Yeah. Like when you eat chicken, are you always eating female chickens, or
probably, I would imagine, maybe, but I have not come to snuff the roosters, as Matic is saying. We're just going to move them off the property.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, we'll be able to trade that one in and get, because you know we bought the damn thing, so we got to make sure that we get something for our money or get our money back.
Oh man.
It's tough though with sexing a chicken, which isn't as fun as that might sound, but that's just it's trying to determine what if it is going to be a rooster or not, and it's not an exact science.
Yeah, no, I've heard that with birds, you can't really tell.
You know, so
oh well.
So its little comb is starting to get red way sooner than the other guys. It's already growing wattles. It would be a great looking rooster. Roosters are fantastic looking animals, but.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. I saw they're doing a new Chicken Run movie. Do you remember that movie, Chicken Run?
I didn't. Is that the claymation one?
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw that one or not, but
it was really good. I remember like really liking it when it came out, which was like 20-something years ago. But yeah, they're making a sequel. But the weird thing is that Mel Gibson was like one of the voices in the first one. And they just didn't even ask him to come back for this one. But then there's
was he an important character?
Yeah, I mean he's like one of the main characters in it. And
okay,
they had this woman do, I don't
Rooster,
remember.
They only live like 5-7 years, so like,
oh really?
If they honor the time gap, it's gonna have to be a whole sequel trilogy.
No, they had, I think the woman who did the voice for like the main character or something, they didn't ask her to come back. And like there was like, I think there was like some internet outrage over it, because they claimed that she sounded older or something. I don't know.
How dare she? Did she not honor the work that she put in her career? Did she not give a damn in upholding the legacy?
What I'm surprised is like they, like, you know, obviously yeah, your voice does deepen over time, but it feels sure like they've only just recently, like in the past few months, have discovered how to, and I don't know if this is like a newer AI technology or something, but like if you've noticed, you know, when Darth Vader showed up in Rogue One, what was that, like 5 years ago?
Yeah.
It was James Earl Jones voicing it, but like you could tell, like he sounded different, like it sounded deeper.
I know what you're talking about. I felt like you could tell how old he was.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. It was, but not in like it was a little weaker.
Right.
I guess you're going to talk about.
Yeah, in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, it sounds like perfect. It sounds like
spot on.
Yeah, it sounds so much like James Earl Jones. So like, maybe there's just not the budget to make this the star of Chicken Run like.
Sound like her. And can you do that with Well, no, you're not going to do that with Mel's voice either.
Well, I think Mel's got his own. That's a whole other issue.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but you, I guess you can't just use his voice. Like, what do you do if you had a Mel Gibson type character, voicing a character? Then say Mel Gibson passes away, mm-hmm. and you know he's got his critics. Do you resurrect his voice for like a sequel type of thing posthumously?
For Mel Gibson. I don't know. He does seem like one of those actors that when he dies, there's going to be a lot of people praising him, even though he's got a really bad, he's got a bad reputation.
His reputation will be second paragraph.
Yeah, but everyone's going to just be like, oh man, I loved Lethal Weapon and Braveheart. And
yeah, he knows how to make a good goddamn movie.
Yeah.
He's just an incorrigible bastard.
Yeah.
It sounds like, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, Lomas Martian thought James Earl Jones was dead. No. Alive and well. Although, yeah, they credited him on Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't think he actually did anything. I think he signed away the rights to use his voice.
You think that was a fully generated?
I think it was. I don't think he
But he probably goes in and just reads the dictionary. Not even records the lines at this. They just do whatever they can to get all the possible sounds and syllables and inflections and noises that be accustomed for whatever he could do.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad Matt said this because I just watched a recent Simpsons episodes. And like all the voices sound different now. Like you could tell it's still them, but it's like...
Yeah.
I almost like Julie Kavner, right? She's been doing that voice now for
almost 40 years.
40 years. I like every time there's like, you know, controversy about, you know, this character needs to be voiced by so and so, like, you know, whatever. It's just like, why don't they just end the show instead of recasting characters? I was watching this new episode and I'm like, poor Julie Kavner sounds like she's going to die. Like, stop making her do this voice.
Do you know how much money they have to be throwing at all of them?
Yeah, I know, but it's...
I mean, think about it. They have been the featured performers on network television for more than 30 years, and they don't have to do an ounce of makeup. You know,
they probably at this point all record from like their home studio
too. And yeah, with all that stuff, and I think I can recall they're the Simpsons had their payroll drama just like every other big time show. Like they started talking about, like,
yeah, they've had that a few times. Yeah,
these guys, you know, didn't Hank Azaria leave?
There was like they announced like he wasn't going to be on an upcoming season, and then that always seems to be just kind of like a
negotiating
tactic. Yeah,
like in sports, you know, we're ready. You know, we got to explore all our options. We're ready. You know, nobody like, you know. Classically, the Yankees and their general manager Brian Cashman told Derek Jeter, "Go ahead, go find another contract, see what's out there for you, you know, and let him shop in the open market." And sure enough, the captain, you know, knew what was good for him and stayed with the Yankees.
Did you just say the captain? Were you being condescending, or were you just referring to him by his nickname?
I was referring to him by his nickname.
Okay,
in a condescending way.
I could tell.
Yeah.
I picked up on a little bit of...
you caught that pregnant pause.
Hey, it's John Moe. Join me on Depression Mode for conversations on how mental health shapes our life. This week, David Sedaris with stories of his late father that he's finally willing to tell.
I think there's a difference between, you know, a good person and a good character. Like, he was a good character, my boyfriend Hugh. And my father was another one of those people. He was a really good character, but he wasn't a good person.
Depression Mode with John Moe, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jesse Thorne, the founder of Maximum Fun, and I have a special announcement. I'm no longer embarrassed by My Brother, My Brother and Me. You know, for years, each new episode of this supposed advice show was a fresh insult, a depraved jumble of erection jokes, ghost humor, and frankly, this is for the best, very little actionable advice. But now, as they enter their twilight years, I'm as surprised as anyone to admit that it's gotten kind of good. Justin, Travis, and Griffin's witticisms are more refined, like a humor column in a fancy magazine. And they hardly ever say Bazinga anymore. So, after you've completely finished listening to every single one of all of our other shows, why not join the McElroy Brothers every week for My Brother, My Brother, and Me?
You had a Yankee.
Yeah, I went to Yankees
flavored weekend
on Saturday.
Saturday at the park.
Well, my dad and my brother.
Okay, the Gersbeck men.
Yeah, we they were playing the Cubs.
How did you get there? How'd you get what time was the first pitch?
It was a 7:15 p.m. game.
Okay. So you guys like meet up at dad's house before?
No, we all met like right outside the stadium.
You converged at the stadium. Okay, cool.
And then we waited 45 minutes for my brother to get there, and then we went inside.
Is he late every time? You always have to wait for your brother?
You know, he's got two kids, so I understand.
Oh, that's such a cop-out.
And he's coming from Brooklyn.
Dude, they have trains.
Yeah, well, the trains on the weekends, though, are not.
Yeah,
like it took us like almost 2 hours to get home from the Bronx.
That's the worst part of all.
Yeah, it's like
going to games.
I think it's the last time I can do that because I just can't take the subway ride.
That's why I drive to games now when I go, just for the getting out and getting home.
Yeah,
even if it takes me 2 hours to get home, even if it takes me forever to get out of the parking lot, I'm in my space.
Yeah,
I'm in control. I don't have to deal with anybody.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, and that was my dad's idea was like, oh, well, it'll be easier to take the train and not to drive
or
park or anything.
You don't want to do that either.
My dad also brought edibles to the games.
Attaboy.
We all ate edibles.
That's fantastic. But then you can't eat at the game. You got to give the edibles time to kick in. That might be a bad strategy.
No, what you do is you eat the gummy right before you eat. And then it just like kicks in pretty quickly.
Okay.
And doesn't really linger too long. But yes, that was part of the issue. Is like
your dad taught you that trick?
He did, yeah. He taught me that. My parents have a thing called like Edible Fridays or something where they just, that's what they do on Friday nights. They hang out, eat edibles, okay, and watch stuff.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. It sounds like my Tuesday, but all right.
I know, right? They're having
fun. Yeah, excellent. So, okay, so 7:40 game. Who are they playing this week?
The Cubs.
So okay, so that's
Interleague.
Interleague sucks.
I only go to a game like once a year with my dad usually. Because it's fun. Like, you know, I'd go to anyone really, give me a ticket to anything, I'll probably go to it. So I always go and I always have fun just watching. And baseball is one of the few sports I can actually like I know what's going on in the game. Like I can follow it start to finish.
Was that a struggle for you to get to a point where you felt like you could follow it or
baseball? No, because I played little league. So like I understood it totally. Football, like I still can't follow. Like there's just too many, like there's too many weird things about it.
A lot of motion. A lot going on.
Yeah. Too many positions or something. I don't know what it is. It's
so
too many people on the field.
How did the Yankees do on Saturday?
They did great. They slaughtered them. I think it was 8-0.
No, you don't say O. You don't score O in baseball. You don't even score zero. You score nothing in baseball.
8-0. It was 8-0.
8-0. There you go.
Did I get the order right? It's not nothing 8, right?
Correct. Eight. Yeah. You always put the lead, you know, the winning team first.
There were 6 home runs scored. There was one inning, I kid you not, 3 home runs in a row.
Ooh.
Like first pitch.
Yeah. Home runs. Just jacking it.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like
who was pitching for the Cubs?
Oh, I have no idea.
Some hack, obviously.
Yeah. You know? It was like, it almost got, I was like in the fourth or fifth inning. It was like, it's just getting boring now. Like, it's not even.
Yeah. The Yankee, so corporate and businesslike, just going ahead.
Yeah.
So matter of factly, you know?
Yeah.
When's the last time you went to a Met game?
Actually, not that long ago. I want to say like 4 or 5 years ago.
And you live like 15 minutes from the stadium.
Yeah, I could walk there easily.
You're crying about it takes 2 hours to go to a Yankee game and get home. Why don't you just do the smart thing and become a Mets fan? Oh, come on, dude.
No, it would be way more. It would make a lot more sense for me to be a Mets fan. It's true.
Yeah, but you never want to take the easy route.
Well, to be honest, I mean, like growing up, Shea Stadium was like really ugly and pretty shitty. You know, it was like definitely like the lesser of the two Yankee stadium or the two New York baseball stadiums, but
that's a fair point. But
the old Yankee Stadium was pretty sketchy too, but but now most stadiums are like super fancy. And
you used to be able to go to Shea with like $10, get into the game, go on the upper deck, smoke joints through the whole game.
Really,
nobody's gonna bother you. Because the upper deck, you go to the top row of the upper deck, and you know, you're a young man and you're, you know, early 20s, you can run those steps all day.
Yeah.
But that 50-year-old usher, he's not coming up to buck the balls or anything, and the cops aren't going to smell anything. And you're up there with the airplanes coming in.
That's
on
right.
It was great. I miss it. I miss it tremendously.
I mean, if you want, I'd love to go to a Mets game with you. We should do that.
I'm looking at the calendar. I'm hoping maybe July. Find one.
See, like, I always remember because, like, growing up, the Mets were always, like, terrible. So, like,
that's a really aggressive word. I mean,
but they were. Weren't they really bad?
Not in any. I mean, they had some special ways to do it, but.
Maybe I've just heard my dad talk so much shit about the Mets. I have this distorted view of them as just.
Your dad used to be cool, you know. I'll have to hang out with him in the middle of winter when there's not a Yankee game that's going to come on and ruin our time from taking edibles and listening to the Crows. But work that out.
But no, it would be fun. We should go to a
definitely
field.
I'll let you know when I'm working it out.
Yeah, but that was what I was gonna say. Like, they used to bring us to like Mets games and like summer day camp.
Okay,
because they were probably just like really cheap. It was probably like nothing to get like 50 kids in.
Well, it would be part of a larger community outreach program, you know, with Camp Kid Day. And they, you'd get your colored T-shirt, and you're sitting in this section, and there's camp kids all over the place. The game would start early.
What's the Mets mascot? The baseball, the giant.
Oh, that son of a bitch is Mr. Met.
So, Mr. Met, I remember, so we're a bunch of seventh graders in summer camp, and I remember, this image is still tattooed in my brain, but I remember, walking out of the game, and Mr. Met is standing there, and a bunch of kids, not, like, punching him or anything, but just all over him, and he had these eyeballs that... I don't know if they still have it, but like these eyeballs that would kind of like move around.
Jiggly eyes, yeah.
And the image of this guy in this Met costume just getting like kind of like slapped and shoved around.
Mr. Met can get hostile. He's learned his lesson. There was an incident a couple of years ago. He was caught on camera giving some fans the finger.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah.
Which is the only time I ever liked Mr. Met as a lifelong Met fan, or mostly lifelong Met fan. But I hate Mr. Met. He's just an annoying distraction. I'm not one for mascots.
Yeah, mascots are pretty lame. Like that, you know, Yankees have never had a mascot.
You don't need one.
You kind of respect that. I don't know.
Yeah, Doyle knows what I'm talking about. They fired Mr. Met.
Four fingers.
He's walking down the tunnel, you know, just letting it fly.
Wow.
And they got a Mrs. Met too, which I'm all for, you know. She's just got poor choice in men.
Yeah.
You know, she's all right, but suspect judgment.
It was a fun game. I like going to games. They're just.
It's a great day.
Yeah. Like, I never thought about how much fun it could be if you just sat in like the upper deck and just smoked weed the entire time.
It's amazing.
That sounds way more fun. But,
you know, that's why when you're saying the Mets are being terrible, you know, they're terrible, you know. Who cared?
Yeah.
It was all good, man.
CL Doyle says he disagrees on our stance on mascots.
Certain mascots are legendary, like the San Diego Chicken. is Hall of Fame entertainer. The Philly Fanatic is, you give him credit for originality, but with all things Philadelphia, he's
what suspect. Is the Philly Fanatic? Is it like a dragon?
He's like a suck. He's like a green carpeted suction cup.
He's grotesque. I hate
Doyle. CL Doyle 63 is talking about the Orioles bird, which is pretty cool. Like mascot, like the image of a mascot is fine. You know, like the, you know, your team mascot, but like the human in the suit.
Yeah, when they actually show up. Yeah, it's
yeah, that's it's ridiculous. Although I am a fan of like the president's head race down in DC. They do that every game. Uh-huh. They'll put like four dudes in like these massive styrofoam president heads.
Yeah.
And then I think they do the whole spin in a circle and then try to run.
So now I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for list of Major League Baseball mascots. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them.
Most teams have one, yeah.
These are Arizona Diamondbacks has Baxter the Bobcat.
But they're Diamondbacks. They're a snake. That makes no sense.
Billy the Marlin for the Marlins.
Hate any. We should do a show one night, right, checking through all the things I hate any and all about, such as the city of Miami. Apparently, I was talking shit about John Belushi when I fell asleep last night.
John Belushi?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that surprised me too.
It's the wrong Belushi.
I know, but Jim Belushi's cool. Like, he's cool.
Is he? I heard he's cool. He's like really into pot. Like he has a pot farm.
I was trying to not go right there to try to bust it. I don't want to become too stereotypical of myself, but
yeah,
he's gone full green.
Yeah,
in the business,
and he was in Twin Peaks: The Return, which I thought it was great. I don't know his.
I mean, he's the brother of the guy.
Yeah, so I think
nobody expects much.
I may have said this on the show before, but Andy Kindler had like one of the funniest goddamn jokes I've ever heard about Jim Belushi, which is something I don't remember what the setup was, but it was like who died and made him famous. So good.
That's pretty brilliant. That is pretty brilliant.
I don't know. I think it has to do with, like, according to Jim, that show was just on for so long, and that just the image of his face annoys me.
Getting that network paycheck. Yeah.
But Belushi. Oh, and then there's this whole insane story. I don't know if you've ever heard about this. There's like a feud that's been going on for like 30 years between David Cross and Jim Belushi.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, Jim Belushi performs like as the blue, like, you know,
he's a blues brother.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's this footage. I got to pull it up. There's this footage of David Cross basically rushing the stage while he's doing his blues brothers thing and just like enthusiastically dancing. And you see like bodyguards pull him off the stage and everything. It's one of the funniest things. But there's this whole story about why he's been kind of trolling Jim Belushi as long as he has. And it's like they were on some movie together and he was a dick and some, I don't know, just a whole.
Belushi was a dick to David Cross?
To like someone, I don't remember the whole story.
David Cross is defending the honor of somebody else by running around talking shit about Belushi.
Yeah.
Dave is kind of friends with David Cross, right? Our Dave
Hill from before? I would imagine they've met each other.
I know they've crossed paths. I know they, yeah. I've heard of intersecting Dave Hill, David Cross events. So I'll leave that one alone. I don't want to.
Yeah, it looks like that video used to be on YouTube, but I don't see it here anymore. But yeah,
the Belushi people had it pulled.
They must have. Yeah, Belushi. Hey, so Stranger Things.
Yeah, you catching up on it?
5 episodes in.
Okay.
I'm not going to say any spoilers
Okay.
for anyone who hasn't watched it yet. But I think we can mention, because this isn't like...
It's been on for like a month now.
Yeah, it's been a while. And also, I mean, I think they were teasing in a promotion like the return of Hopper. So I don't think I'm spoiling anything here. But like Hopper's in Russia this entire season. And I cannot understand. And like, again, I haven't finished this part yet. So I'm sure there's some kind of resolution there, but it's literally been five episodes of him just like in a prison cell giving monologues and beating people up like he's Batman when he's not. He's a small town sheriff,
but he's a big dude and he's got a lot of rage and pain inside of him.
Yeah,
you know. And
yeah,
when you get into prison, you got to fight like a mad dog.
Yeah, it's been out a week and a half.
Shut up, it's not been out a week and a half.
I think it did only come out like Memorial Day weekend.
That's like a month ago already. Really? It's only been a week and a half? I thought I like prejudged on that a lot longer.
But yeah, aside from that plot line, I actually really dig it. I think it's, you know, it's kind of transcended what it was initially, which was kind of like a homage to those types of like, you know, preteens starring in like a big epic like fantasy type thing.
It's grown into its own.
It's grown into like a Ghostbusters show now, which is still cool. Like I like it, but it's definitely a different show from like what it initially started as.
Have you gotten the Nightmare on Elm Street vibe?
Oh yeah,
this out of it. Yeah,
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 yeah. I mean, yeah. It's basically Nightmare on Elm Street mixed with It. I mean, It has always been like an influence on the show, but now it just feels like they're right really there. Like the plot is basically just It. It's like the same.
When I watched the first episode, I didn't it came out on May 27th. What's today? The 4th. Jesus Christ, I got right on that, didn't I? I didn't love the first episode. Like I watched it and I was like, I'm not watching this again. But then I was at work and I had some like free time, you know, so I just kind of threw it on while I was working on the bench, and it it kept me going through. There's a couple great sequences.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, that's the thing, is it's you know, I kind of like roll my eyes at it sometimes, but like while I'm watching it, I always just like have a smile on my face. Like it's just really it's goofy fun, man. It's got a lot of 80s references that, you know, I relate to.
And
so
it's not making much sense, and like Little Miss Martian says, the best thing about it is just backing her up at the kids down on Cape Bush, you know. I can't
I kept hearing that going in, and it's in the first episode. And I'm like, oh, so people are just freaking out about that song for like the 3 seconds it was in that first episode, but it's like in every single episode.
It's a recurring.
And I think that earned Kate Bush her first number one single in America, which is
30 years after. C.L. Doyle 63 asks if they're having a Goonies adventure, which I love the fact that the Goonies has never been touched. That's the perfect movie because of the fact that there's sequel.
Yeah, but how many movies have tried to emulate?
That's why it's perfect, because it is perfect, and you know they know well enough to leave it. And they even pitch the Goonies 2 at the end of the credits. They talk about Goonies 2 is coming, and it never did.
Did they really? They mentioned that?
I feel like seeing the movie in the theater back in the day, that like at the end of the credits, or maybe it was just the end of the Cyndi Lauper video, but it was all like Goonies 2 is coming.
Well, there was a video game. I remember there was a Nintendo video game called Goonies 2. For some reason, they didn't make a game for the actual movie. They made its own sequel. they just went right ahead. But they were also talking about making a Goonies. They've brought it up quite a few times, like over the past couple of
years. I mean, I think the only one that didn't really go on having much of a showbiz career was Chunk. And Data's back.
Yeah.
Now he was gone for a long time.
Movies. Yeah, I think. Well, Josh Brolin, he's like the big.
You got Josh Brolin, Martha Plimpton, what's his name? Sean Astin, you know, running around.
Yeah. Goonies is great. And like to answer C.L. Doyle's question, are they having a Goonies adventure this season, Stranger Things? They're having like four Goonies adventures.
All at once, yeah.
They've all like split up into their own crews and now like they're... But yeah, it's good. I mean, all the kids are good actors. Like, it's kind of like a shot in the dark with kid actors. Like, they can be really good when they're kids and then grow up to be horrible actors as adults.
And I guess they're using some de-aging stuff with 11.
They had to have, She looked,
which is wild, because you know, when you're de-aging, you know, Robert De Niro from 70 to 40 and doing it poorly, that's one thing. But
an 18-year-old is like
an 18, and they're shrinking her down too. Like,
I think there are multiple instances of that. Like, yeah, they show 11 when she's like supposed to be like 5 or something. So like, they definitely shrunk her down then. But I think that they just made her look younger overall. Like, she, because I saw an interview with Millie Bobby Brown recently, and I was like, she looks way older.
I think she goes intentionally out of her way to not look like an industry child.
Yeah.
Industry meaning like science and, you know.
Yeah.
Institutionalized.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she's dating Jon Bon Jovi's son.
Oh, God.
What the fuck is that? Like, she could have anybody, you know, she's one of the hottest young actresses, working wise, I mean, not in any, you know, commentary, but, and she's going to go with Jon Bon Jovi's kid. Like,
yeah,
that's a down step.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even know, Jon Bon Jovi had a kid.
Yeah. I give great credit to Bruce Springsteen for a lot of things, but one of the greatest might be the fact that he declined the invitation to have a rest area on the Garden State Parkway named after him.
Uh-huh.
But Jon Bon Jovi jumped all over that shit.
Oh, of course he did.
So right the exit, or the rest stop just before the Art Center, down there's the Jon Bon Jovi rest stop.
Why do you think Springsteen didn't want to do it?
He knows not to put his name on the shitter. You know, it's like, your cliche, your history, you're a dinosaur, you're all these things. Just shows that Jon Bon Jovi was like, you know, he was always a climber.
Yeah. It's, I guess that makes sense. If it was like Gene Simmons or something, they would have,
That makes sense, because he'd do it for the money.
Right.
You know, Jon Bon Jovi wants the legacy.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Oh, and another hat tip, actually, speaking of Gene Simmons, to Madicus for the pre-show, because it gave me an opportunity to talk about Kiss with my wife, because she's like, why? Who is that?
Oh,
is
that? Yeah.
So he set up in the very early in the pre-show.
Yes. Sorry, Rio. I forgot that was even in there. Matt, if you're watching and you want to hop on to talk about that, I have questions.
Oh, he's going to come on and try to defend Jon Bon Jovi. he does a lot to feed the homeless.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I mean,
Bon Jovi,
it's the least he could do with the money he's stolen from the public. But,
So in the pre-show, there was a really weird video I've never seen before of Garth Brooks being backed up by Kiss.
Yes.
And like sans makeup Kiss, 90s.
Yes,
Kiss.
This is early 90s Kiss, probably like 92, 93. I know exactly when this was. This is like at the end of their non-makeup run, just before they broke, and actually they had no work. They were running out of gas, and they were doing their own conventions.
Yeah.
And they were doing acoustic sets at their conventions, and then they put the makeup on. But just before that, they did like their own tribute album where they had other bands and other musicians do, do covers of their songs, and Garth Brooks did that Hard Luck Woman take that Madicus played, appearing on the Jay Leno show.
Oh, wow.
So that's like a big time, you know, Garth was into it. He loved it. He was like rocking.
Is that what inspired the Chris Gaines?
It might be, you know, you're going to get a flavor of that rock and roll decadence and wanted to explore that space.
He's like, I learned so much about rocking from Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to apply that to the old.
I mean, Garth Brooks and Gene Simmons could sit down and talk about the music business and how to make money in it. And
oh yeah,
you'd be wise to listen to the both of them,
right? Dan Wally said Bon Jovi's original bassist died last week.
Tico Torres,
why do you?
Or not Tico? I'm sorry, Alec John Such.
Why are you shitting on Bon Jovi so much? Look, he gives money to homeless people, or he feeds homeless people.
Yeah,
he fired
the bassist like 30 years ago because the bassist came out and said Jon Bon Jovi is not paying me very much, and this is kind of a bullshit operation. So then they fired him.
Wow,
86'd him.
Wow,
you know, and then now they so charitably would trot him out every once in a while, I guess, to events. But yeah, Bon Jovi sucks. I mean, I'm not I'm not really hurting.
Oh, here's I heard you were talking shit about Bon Jovi.
Continuum. You're not. You're. I don't know. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody from New Jersey that likes Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that seems to be a very specific thing. Is that like people like Bon Jovi, but nobody from New Jersey like claims him as like a hometown kind of anything.
I'll put it like this: like my sister loves Bon Jovi, you know, but my sister's suspect, like most people. Not that I'm special in any way, but she, you know,
I don't know. John Bon Jovi seems like a very nice man, but yes, he's a sellout. I would agree with that.
Yeah. You never saw the Behind the Video or Behind the Music documentary on Bon Jovi?
I have not seen Behind the Music, but if it's like every other Behind the Music episode, I can glean what the through line of it was. So
he had this thing, and he's like, he's Italian and he's from New Jersey, and I don't know if it was him or Richie Sambora, and when they were talking about Alec John Such, RIP, and when they fired him, and Bon Jovi's like, I don't know if it's the Jersey thing or the Italian thing, but he spoke outside of the family, so we had to let him go. And he gave everybody in like his inner circle little Superman logos, like necklaces.
Yeah, he's big into that. Yeah.
He's trying to be like Elvis with the TCB. Like, all John Bon Jovi has ever done is try to like cop his own version of those that have come before.
But
in egregious manner.
But like when I hopped on, were you talking about because they had another bass player after him, right? And they wouldn't allow him to be a full member because he was like a bald guy, right? Wasn't that like the whole deal?
I don't know if it was because he was bald, but I think that's kind of fairly common when you get like brought into the pre-established band, especially a monster band. Like Ron Wood with the Rolling Stones wasn't like a full paid member until about 15 years ago.
Well, but he was allowed to be a member, because I was just about to bring that up, because the Rolling Stones have had a black guy playing bass with them since like the early 90s, and he's not allowed to show up in any pictures or like...
Oh wow!
Yeah. Well, it's not because he's black. Let's get that.
Well, I would hope it seems weird.
He's a hired hand. He works for the band, you know.
And he's no more like a. What's the difference between him and like Mick Taylor or like anybody else that was like brought on, you know? Like, it's because he's not like he's in the core band. It's not like he's like one of the people on the side who are like the background singers or like the guy that plays like, you know, like the extra drums on the side or something. Like,
but don't you think that like when a band is getting into his its thing, there's like that core that's there at that time, and you may leave, and everybody that comes in, like if you're not there, I kind of get that.
I'm sure Daryl, I think his name's Daryl Jones, I'm sure he's paid very well, whatever he makes to do what he does, but and now they have another guy because Charlie Watts, RIP, he passed away, and so now they have Steve Jordan from Keith Richards' solo band is playing the drums for him, and he's not allowed to be a full stone.
Jordan, it's not that he's not allowed to be a full stone. It's not. That,
it's probably more
a full stonehood is not on the table to be had.
Well, yeah.
It's like, right? Do you want the gig? And who cares? Like if you're. Holy shit! I'm playing behind goddamn Rolling Stones.
I'm sure everybody is being compensated very well and everything. It just it's more the Daryl Jones thing, because like Ron Wood kind of just like walked on and he was allowed to be a full member, and Daryl's been like paying his dues for a while. At least Daryl be in pictures. If you're not gonna make him a full member, just let him be in a goddamn group photo every once in a while.
Wait, is Dave watching right now, or did one of you guys comment this?
Oh no, that was me.
Oh okay,
I typed that in on the wrong.
No problem.
Wrong window. Yeah, Dave's hanging out at Barnes & Noble with Pat. Is this true? CL Doyle 63 saying Jagger's got the COVID.
They're
postponing. That sucks.
That dude is like so fucking fit. Like the Stones are the only band I think I would want to go see now that they're just like old as shit, because every video I see of Mick Jagger, it's like inspiring at a certain point where it's like, because he had like open heart surgery a couple years ago, and then like a week after that at like 70 something years old was like up like doing his like, he was on Instagram doing like his like warm-ups and dancing around like his studio and shit. And
They got some serious medicine available to them though, like, and he got healthy pretty like the rock and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, or like the drugs part, checked out kind of early for Mick. The mid 70s, I'm sure he was, you know.
Oh, all you have to do is look at him and Keith see what the difference is between,
But Keith is still there too.
Yeah.
You know, so God bless him. But
they're both around the same age, and Keith looks like he's like 75 years older than Mick does, so.
I was thinking about it the other day. I only saw the Rolling Stones once, and that was in 2002 on their 40th anniversary.
Where I'm sure everybody was like, it's your last chance to see them, man. You got to catch them now.
This is going to be it. Like, can you believe they've been doing this for 40 years, man? And it's like now it's 60 fucking years. I'm going to see Paul McCartney on Thursday night with my mom.
Oh, nice.
And it's like her first big concert, over at the stadium. So that'll be fun. I've never seen him either.
I've never seen him, and I would love to go to that.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Can't wait. I hope it, although everybody, Dan Wally's saying that two guys in Ringo's band have COVID, so maybe Paul better stay in the bubble.
I've seen Ringo.
I don't want to see my mom disappointed, man.
You guys just reminded me, though, I don't remember which Pink Floyd album it is, but I believe there's one Pink Floyd album where everyone is credited as a member of Pink Floyd except for Rick Wright. He's like credited as like an additional musician or something, and it was basically just like a big fuck you to him.
Is that the Division Bell, maybe? Like the last one? Because Pink Floyd very briefly became for a bit like just the drummer and David Gilmour, I think, and then they brought the keyboards back on to do Division Bell in the 90s. And
it really, all that stuff comes down to business and how much they're getting paid, and whether you're going to get a full band share.
Yeah, I know. It's like these bands are basically just like,
it's a business machine.
Yeah, they're just corporations.
I got to say, while you're talking about the Floyd, though, it's such a fucking shame that Gilmour and Waters just put their shit behind them and just get back together. Like, they're still around, and they still have some stupid beef about something, and they just...
There's still billions of dollars to be made. It'll happen.
Is it political? I mean, Roger Waters is an aggressively political person. Does Gilmour?
A lot of their big split was that, like Roger Waters wanted Floyd shows to be bigger and more theatrical and more about the visuals, and David Gilmour just wants to play sweet guitar solos all night. And all you have to do is kind of look at what their styles look like after that, because Floyd with just Gilmour, like, I mean, their shows were still big, but there's more just kind of like screens and just like big light shows, whereas Gilmour doesn't have quite the musicianship that, or Roger Waters doesn't have quite the musicianship that David Gilmour does, but his, like, when you go see, like, his The Wall show, like, it's fucking show, you know? Like, it's
spectacle of it, yeah.
I saw him do Dark Side of the Moon at MSG twice, and it was mind-blowing. So good.
Little Miss Martian says they did a reunion show a year or three ago. Is she talking about Gilmour?
I think Gilmour showed up at one of the Wall
shows. That's happened, and they all got back together for Live Aid back in like 2005. It's been like one-off kind of just like maybe this will shut people up kind of things. And it's been like, because I think Pink Floyd has still put out like new music here lately. Like, I think they put out an album like a year or two ago.
They put out something they put out a song. They did do something a couple years ago with old recordings from the guy who died using that stuff, and then they put together a song for the Ukraine benefit.
That's right.
A couple months ago, when all that started.
It's so weird that Gilmour is like the de facto leader of Pink Floyd, and he wasn't even an original member.
It's crazy. That's what I'm saying. But a lot of times they don't get accepted when you're not one of the original guys. Like.
Speaking of the original guys, someone needs to make a Syd Barrett biopic movie. That would sell so fucking well. Like,
I can't believe that hasn't happened yet.
Did you not think that he was dead for 15 years before he died?
Like,
I thought for sure. I was like, what do you mean he's dead? Of course he's been dead this whole time. Him and Peter Green from Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac lineup. He just died not too long
ago.
Which
that was another one about a guy who just like went kind of insane, sort of, and just, you know, like couldn't hang anymore.
That's a fascinating story. There was the Peter Green documentary, and him and another guy that was in that lineup, I forget who recently died too.
My dad would love this episode. Before. I should call him and tell him to listen.
They went to an acid party in Berlin, and Green and the other guy, Denny Cordell. I don't know. Let me find it real quick. But these guys took acid at a party in Germany, and then proceeded to like lose their mind and their career and became just, you know, basket cases that couldn't handle this trip. So be careful with your drugs out there, guys.
Well, I think the 60s were a bad time where there wasn't quite the understanding of like mental illness. So people who had some of these like hair trigger mental illnesses were experimenting with drugs that they probably shouldn't have been. It was creating a lot of problems that like, yeah, if you're prone to like psychotic illnesses, maybe don't mess with psychedelics. Yeah. Acid. Like it's,
yeah,
that's our PSA for the evening. that's the takeaway message.
Be smart.
But yeah, so you wanted to talk about the Garth Brooks Kiss video?
Yeah. Here, I got it pulled up here. Let's just do a side side watch here.
Bruce,
can you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never He looks like a,
do you think back?
He looks
backstage. He's like, they were like
rocking.
Maybe not that sure.
All I can think is that he looks like a possum that's like being approached, who's like eating something that like.
He's so skinny, Garth Brooks. He always had the knock of being like the stick guy, but it's a skinny dude up there.
Did y'all think I would find a way to include Garth Brooks on two separate pre-show reels for you guys?
You're an artist, Matt. An artist.
It's just so weird to see Garth Brooks fronting Kiss.
Like, well, this came out, so Kiss were releasing like a covers album where like a lot of artists like covered Kiss music, and this was during like the
Kiss My Ass.
This is at the lowest point in their makeupless years, right before they reunited. And they did like a performance with Garth Brooks and a couple artists to promote it.
John Bon Jovi was on that album.
Oh, was he?
It's a smart move.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. He wasn't.
The Gin Blossoms do a cover on that album, if you want to know what time period that was. It was the time period where people were talking about the Gin Blossoms.
Lenny Kravitz did Deuce, which is swinging cover. That was a hot version.
Wait, what did
of that
he do?
Song.
What did
Deuce.
Ah.
He didn't drop a deuce. He recorded deuce.
I just wonder how many like Garth Brooks fans were watching this and you're like, you know, I never really liked Kiss, but now I can
get into this.
You know, I could see Paul Stanley and Garth Brooks collaborating on a whole album. It could be like a real Robert Plant, Alison Krauss kind of relationship. You know, like I could see it.
I bet you this is probably one of Paul Stanley's proudest career moments, because he's like, here I am. Yeah. Kiss is one of the greatest bands ever. Garth Brooks is one of
Garth
the greatest
Brooks
country
artists. Garth Brooks was like the Michael Jackson of like country
he's
music at the time. He was. It's so hard to tell like Gen Zers nowadays that this pudgy white man was like tearing up the country charts, but like he was unstoppable.
I couldn't tell you a Garth Brooks song, though, but he's selling out football stadiums from Pennsylvania to Colorado.
Yeah.
And yeah,
so this was on the Tonight Show.
This is on the Tonight Show, yeah.
Yeah, Jay Leno. This is very validating for Kiss.
Yeah, and this is them makeupless too. This is like so they're on there just like as them. Gene Simmons has finally found a way to play makeupless without looking awkward, which right in time for them to put all their makeup back on again.
And did they put mirrors in to fool us into thinking there were way more members of Kiss than there actually are?
I think so. Yeah. You make an excellent point, Matt, because this is right after Revenge, and he finally figured it out. I was talking about this with a friend of mine the other day, as a matter of fact. He by Revenge, Gene figured out how to be Gene, and then he's like, okay, now let's go get paid.
Because he was the one that had the hardest time with taking the makeup off, and some of those early videos, he looks so awkward, and he doesn't know what to do without his demon persona. Yeah, and then Revenge, Unholy, he gets it all figured out, and then Paul goes like, okay, we're getting the old band back together, and everyone's putting all their shit back on. It's like, damn.
The whole Lick It Up video is tough for Gene.
Oh, watch any music video from Asylum. Gene Simmons looks like B. Arthur, because they were all like in that, like, it was that 80s era of like the Motley Crue Theater of Pain, where everyone was like the super femme kind of hair metal look.
Yeah.
And
exactly. Was it him or Paul Stanley said that they'd end up waking up looking like, or, you know, they were dressing like the girl they slept with last night, you know, and his magnificent Kiss.
Paul did the best with the makeupless transition, because he didn't really have a character. He was just like a guy with a star on his face. So,
mid and late 80s, Paul Stanley is like late 70s Mick Jagger. He was actually the one running the band while the key other half was checked out.
Oh, yeah.
Gene was trying to make movies.
He was trying to just market the makeup brand because he couldn't play as it anymore. So it's like...
They were burying the makeup. I tell you what, Kiss Records, 90s Kiss Records, late 80s, those are money. They're making money now. Mm. All that Kiss stuff, they're getting it done still. I mean, everywhere you go, they're still here. Kiss Army wins out in the end.
Good to know.
You know?
Well, Chris has started playing the music because this is like the Academy Awards where the orchestra just starts playing at a certain point when you want to stop talking. But
I didn't start playing the closing music at all.
Closing music. Hey, man, ain't your show, bro.
I'm getting all your music cues confused.
As soon as you said that, then I put the
Okay. Out. Yeah. Well, then we'll just fix that all in post to make it sound like I did it all in time. Okay, well.
No.
He called for it.
Well, all right. Well, on that note, thanks so much for tuning in to the Good Time Hour without Dave Hill, everybody. I'm not even the host, but I'm happy to do the outro.
I don't even think we said the name of the show at the top. So thanks for watching and or listening to the Good Time Hour without Dave Bill, but still with Des and Chris. Thanks, Matt, for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And make sure to get your Good Time Hour merch at dumbindustries.com. Listen to us watch us every Monday at 8. Listen to us every Friday on Maximum Fun. Good stuff. I think you already said some of that, but...
Was that the show? Yes,
that was the show. You should end it exactly like that. That's how you should end every episode. Now it's like, this has been the show. End. Just like,
off.
And that's the show.
If you'd like to help support this podcast, please head to maximumfun.org/join to become a Maximum Fun member. You can also subscribe right here on Twitch, to Dave's Twitch channel. Dave should be back next week. And we're going to do an every other week rotation for a little bit. So... fun. More of this meandering nerd talk is.
Yeah, this was a really bro-y time. Y'all talked about some baseball. You had some
kissing baseball.
Weird.
Our guest last night was checking in from a pink room last week, so we had to balance it back out. Tierney Tough. So it's cool.
If anyone hasn't listened to last week's episode, please do so.
Great time.
It was such a fun episode. We had Andy Main and Tierney Tough on.
The great Andy Main and Bjork's dog.
And Bjork. There's a lot of Bjork talk on that one. All right, guys.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Thanks, Dez. Thanks, Matt. See you next
week. Good night, John Boy.
My hair looks like shit.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.